Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
This is not a negotiation. I'm running this team because the Reinsdorfs want me to, and I'm going to run it that I think is best.
And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
I think your play is embarrassing. The pro player thing, this is basketball.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media. On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Pat. And on Facebook, at Facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. And you can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. That text voicemail line 331-979-1369. Keep those off-season questions, comments, Bulls thoughts coming, and we will get to more mailbag material next week. Jordan off today, so I will handle things solo. To steer y'all into the weekend, I wanted to touch on a couple of things. First off, the recent comments from Zach LaVine, dunk contest nemesis and rival Aaron Gordon about the upcoming 2020 All-Star Weekend festivities and a slate of dunkers that he would like to see as his competition. It sounds like Gordon is game to compete again in the 2020 dunk contest, and he would love to maybe face off against LaVine again and get some revenge. And he also had some other names of participants he would like to see. And then at the back end of today's show, I want to touch on the NBA 2K20 all-decade teams that were released earlier this week. Of course, a couple of prominent names from the Bulls dynasty years making the squad, and some amazing Hall of Fame names, and a couple of issues that I have with these lists of the all-decade teams. We're still waiting on the official rankings for the current Bulls roster and players. I think I saw something on Twitter that said a couple of leaks have come out, and LaVine's going to be an 85, Lowry's going to be an 83. I think I can work with that. I can work with that. I don't get too bent out of shape with NBA 2K ratings. I used to play a lot of NBA 2K. I don't play that much anymore. I mean, I don't really have the time. But everybody loves to get those, you know, those ratings all. It gets everybody riled up. I saw actually one of the Bulls newest members, their second round pick Daniel Gafford, tweeted a screenshot of himself, the NBA 2K version of himself, with a 71 rating, and he wasn't complaining about the rating. He was just happy and saying, "Wow, I can't believe it! I'm an NBA 2K player. That's crazy." Whereas some people, like former Bull Bobby Portis, have issues with their ratings. Bobby Portis also tweeting at NBA 2K saying, "Hey man, you don't even have like my correct updated hairdo on my NBA 2K character." So clearly, the players in the league have a relationship with this video game, the video game versions of themselves. Some care about their ratings. Some care about whether or not their look is correct. But these all-decade teams are really fun because back when I played a lot of NBA 2K, one of my favorite things to do, I can't remember which iteration it was. I want to say it was somewhere around 10 years or so ago. They did like an MJ special version of NBA 2K where you could go back and recreate all the iconic moments of NBA's career the iconic moments of MJ's career in like a career mode where you have to do all of the things and achieve all of the feats that MJ did. It was really cool. So that's why I love these throwback kind of teams and throwback rosters of the NBA greats and the NBA legends of decades past. So, but before we get to that, let's talk about the current NBA and this All-Star weekend we have on deck in Chicago, which I think Bulls fans are really excited about. It's the first time since the old Chicago Stadium in 1988 that the city of Chicago will host NBA All-Star weekend. And usually it's just a matter of the fact, most people want to do All-Star weekend in a warm climate city. take the mid-season break and let people, let the players go enjoy a nice relaxing weekend somewhere where it's not sub-zero temperatures. But, you know, they recently had an All-Star Weekend in Toronto, and people seem to really enjoy it. So very much looking forward to All-Star Weekend, being here, being the host city. And it would be great for the organization if they had some representatives there. We're hoping that Zach LaVine is on the cusp of his first All-Star season. Maybe not quite as high hopes, but there's still maybe some level of optimism that Lauri Markkanen might be on the verge of having an All-Star caliber season. Certainly you would expect that Coby White will be involved in the Rising Stars game for first and second year players, assuming that Coby White makes some noise in the first half of his rookie season. And then there's three-point contest, the skills challenge, and the dunk contest. Now, I don't know if the Bulls have anybody on this roster right now who could be a viable candidate for the three-point contest. Would be really awesome if Lowry just came out hot this season. You know, he's shot around 36% from behind the three-point line in his first two NBA seasons. Most people believe that he has a higher ceiling than that as far as his accuracy from downtown. Would be awesome if, in addition to LaVine deciding to participate in the dunk contest, we had Lowry in the three-point contest. That would be really, really awesome. But as far as the dunk contest, a big name who a lot of people think should have won in 2016, Aaron Gordon, when Zach LaVine was the winner and the winner for the second year in a row. LaVine won both times that he participated in those back-to-back years. Aaron Gordon is talking, I believe he was talking to like TMZ or something earlier this week about the dunk contest, and it sounds like Aaron Gordon is down to participate. And when he was asked about some other possible participants, Aaron Gordon said this, quote, "Oh man, I know Zion probably is going to do it. It's in Zach's hometown, so he'll probably do it. And the people want Donovan," end quote. Donovan, of course, being Donovan Mitchell, who won the dunk contest in 2018. So the other names that Aaron Gordon rattled off are, he mentions Zion and Zach LaVine. Zion, of course, just insane dunks in his, you know, in-game dunks when he played his one season with Duke. And then even before that, in the McDonald's All-American game and weekend festivities, he put on a show at the McDonald's All-American dunk contest. Even when he was still just a high school player, YouTube was overflowing with amazing Zion dunks. I think everybody wants to see Zion in the dunk contest this year. And then the other names that Aaron Gordon mentioned are Hamidou Diallo, who won the contest in 2019, and Derrick Jones Jr., who has not won but was a participant in 2017. So usually the dunk contest is four participants, and then they narrow it down to the final two in the second round. But might we see the NBA change up the dunk contest and expand it to five participants? I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to that. The dunk contest in recent years has been trying to do these new rule changes and keep things, you know, different and spice things up a bit. And, you know, sometimes it's about the qualifications for, you know, what dunks you do and the scoring or the system. And then they, you know, they bring in, like, you can use a teammate for a dunk. It seemed like for a while there, the dunk contest was losing its luster and its appeal. But I think, you know, in simplest terms, the reason that the dunk contest started to become not so exciting is that it started to be a contest that didn't have the league's biggest and brightest stars. Like, you know, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon put on an amazing show back, you know, a few years ago, and it was the best dunk contest in recent memory. And it's because they were two very great dunkers that had very creative new dunks that nobody had ever seen before. But how often are you able to, you know, manifest the new creativity of dunks that literally no one has ever seen before? Because now we've seen a lot of dunks. And heck, there are some people who are just like YouTube celebrities who don't play professional basketball, but who are just in a gym coming up with crazy, insane new dunks all the time. And there's like, you know, like the Street Core Festival dunk contest and all these things, that videos that go viral. Anytime somebody has an amazing dunk, it goes viral. So it's like we've kind of lost our ability to be shocked and awed and impressed by dunks from these amazing athletes. The other thing that makes the dunk contest great, or that used to make the dunk contest great, is that the people competing were the brightest and best stars in the league. You know, I'm talking about MJ winning the contest in 87 and 88. I'm talking about MJ going up against Dominique Wilkins, who was a mega star at the time. He and MJ were probably two of the best five players in the league when they went head-to-head in that dunk contest. You know, like, and like, it's something that LeBron always got crap for. LeBron never did the dunk contest. He should have done it at least once or twice. And then in these recent years, like, you know, the names of the participants are just kind of underwhelming. Donovan Mitchell, when he won in 2018, was becoming kind of like a breakout star of sorts. So, you know, there's that. But just, you know, just rattle off the names of the most recent winners over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. As I mentioned, Hamidou Diallo last year, this past year, Donovan Mitchell, Glenn Robinson III in 2017, and then LaVine in 15 and 16, John Wall in 14. Okay, there's a legit, like, all-star caliber player competing and winning the dunk contest. Terrence Ross, Jeremy Evans, and then you had the Blake Griffin year in 2011, Nate Robinson three times in the span of 5 years, Gerald Green, Dwight Howard. Like, none of these names really grab you. Other than Dwight Howard and John Wall, it's not all-stars going up against each other to say, I can dunk bigger and more powerfully and more creatively than you can. So in what ways can the NBA try and spice up the dunk contest this year? Well, I think it's simple. Put a couple of big names in the contest. And even though he's only a rookie, Zion Williamson is going to be one of the top 10 most hyped players in the league this season. Assuming he stays healthy, which I think everybody wants to see, there is no bigger name with hype around it than Zion Williamson coming in the 1920 season. There are names with more respect, but hype? Zion Williamson is the top of NBA hype coming into this season. So put him in the dunk contest. If people want to see a Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon rematch, make it happen. And that's where I think, you know, I've started to change my mind a little bit. Because when I first started thinking about this, and when people had been asking Zach LaVine in, you know, recent months, and then especially once we found out the All-Star Weekend would be here in Chicago, asking him, are you going to do the dunk contest again? He always kind of gave these answers that were non-committal. Like, I still have a few pretty nasty dunks up my sleeve that I've never actually revealed to the public. But, you know, I don't know. And I was thinking, you know, maybe that's something that Zach LaVine has grown out of. Maybe it's time for Zach LaVine to make his focus, you know, making All-Star Weekend, you know, a part of his schedule because he's an All-Star, not because he's a dunker. When the Bulls made that trade to send Jimmy Butler to Minnesota and we got Zach LaVine, most Bulls fans knew Zach LaVine as just a young player who won the dunk contest. And not much about his game as a guy who could lead an NBA team or be an all-star caliber player in the league. So I was kind of hesitant when we first started talking about all this. Oh my God, you know, it's All-Star Weekend in Chicago for the first time in forever. Zach's got to go back to the dunk contest. Because I was thinking, you know, he's grown out of that. Especially with this recent trend of the dunk contest being essentially just for just like younger players who are not necessarily the league's brightest stars, but just some of the best athletes with some of the best in-game dunks in the first half of the season. And I wanted Zach to be bigger and better than that. I wanted Zach to graduate from the dunk contest to the All-Star game. But then, you know, when I think about it, there's nothing to say that you can't compete in the dunk contest and play in the All-Star game. And that seems like the biggest concern and the biggest complaint that most NBA fans have about the dunk contest and its recent like slump of level of entertainment and excitement is because the people playing on All-Star Sunday night, none of them are doing the dunk contest because they don't want to. They want to just sit back and enjoy and watch some younger kids dunk and go head-to-head in the dunk contest. That's a part of the vacation that is the All-Star weekend. The All-Stars sit courtside, you know, with their, you know, taking videos with their phones and, you know, back in the early 2000s, like you had those iconic shots of like Shaquille O'Neal holding a camcorder reacting to to somebody's dunk from his courtside seats. Like, that's part of the fun of All-Star Weekend is watching the league's brightest stars react to the creative and athletic genius of some of the league's best young athletes who aren't all-stars in their own right yet, just destroying rims in the dunk contest. I get it. That's part of the fun. You know what's more fun? Watching NBA all-stars go at it in a dunk contest. Is Zion going to be an all-star this year? I don't know. That I think that's a lot to ask for a rookie, especially in the Western Conference. Won't be easy. Zach LaVine making the all-star team and doing the dunk contest? I think that's a realistic possibility, and I've come around on the idea. Especially because this is about Chicago hosting All-Star Weekend. For the first time since 1988, when MJ was young and had hair and no rings. And we want to try and build some excitement up around this organization in this city right now. Because, we were just talking about the schedule being released earlier this week and the Bulls having one nationally televised game. The third largest market team in this league. And we have one national TV game. There is no excitement about this Bulls organization right now from a league-wide perspective. You have a all-star, first-time all-star Zach LaVine competing in the dunk contest against his former dunk contest rival Aaron Gordon. Toss in rookie phenom sensation Zion Williamson, a couple of defending champions in Hamidou Diallo and Donovan Mitchell, and maybe the dunk contest is an exciting thing worth watching, and maybe it's something that helps the Bulls add a little bit of, you know, zest back into what has been a very dormant franchise when it comes to All-Star Weekend in recent years. They're the host city. They got to knock it out of the park. LaVine as dunk contest winner / All-Star for the East squad. I think I'd really love to see that. All right, now before we get to those NBA 2K all-decade teams, just a quick note for all of you fantasy football players out there. I know I mentioned earlier this week with Jordan that I was starting to get ready for my fantasy football drafts. To all of our Locked On listeners out there, Locked On Fantasy Football, you got to check it out. Make sure you listen to Vinny Iyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else. Then your team and your talents as a fantasy football player will be just like the rest. Go get the edge from Vinny Iyer. It'll put you ahead on draft day. It'll put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast provider. I've been listening for the last couple of weeks, boning up for my draft that I have coming up at the end of this month. He's awesome. Great insight. A lot of great stuff about depth charts and some potential sleepers and handcuffs. Everything you need to know about your fantasy football drafts. Check out Locked On Fantasy Football. Great content for all of you fantasy football players out there. So, okay. All NBA decade teams for NBA 2K20. The lists were dropped earlier this week, and I have some thoughts. Let's start with the 1980s. I have no issues with the young version of lots of hair but no rings yet, MJ. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, those three arguably top five all time. The golden years of the NBA when MJ, Magic, and Larry were all playing at their peak. Moses Malone, absolute no doubter. The one issue I have with the 80s team is Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale in the 80s was definitely a dominant player. He had, let's see, 6 All-Star appearances, if you count the final part of that 80s decade, the 89-90 season. 6 All-Star appearances in the span of a decade, that's not bad. And in that span, he averaged anywhere from like 18 points and 7 rebounds a game to 20 the peak in 1986-87, 26 points and 10 rebounds per game. That's some massive stuff. Also, a pretty good guy on the defensive end. He averaged somewhere between like two and a half steals for the better part of the decade. And in addition to those all-star appearances, he also had all-rookie first team in 80-81. He had all-NBA first team in that 86-87 season that I mentioned where he averaged 26-10. And then, let's see, all-defensive first team three times in 86, 87, 88, and then two more all-defensive second, three more all-defensive second teams in 83, 89, and 89, 90. That's a nice resume. That's impressive. But guess what? His own teammate, Robert Parrish, you can make the argument that he was just as deserving, especially if you're talking about these all-decade teams needing to have people at each position, you know, representing backcourt and frontcourt. Robert Parrish, all-star in 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. That is more all-star appearances than his teammate Kevin McHale. And in that same span, he wasn't averaging over 20 points a game, but he was pretty darn close. 18.9, 19.9, 19.3, 19, 17.6, 17.5, while also averaging a double-double with 10-plus rebounds in most of those years. So to me, you know, Kevin McHale versus Robert Parrish for the all-decade team, you could make that a coin toss. A couple other names that you could throw out there, maybe being just as deserving or more deserving. How about Dr. J, who had, let's see, all-NBA first team honors in 79-80, 80-81, 81-82, 82-83, and then all-NBA second team in 83-84. Not to mention that he also has Kevin McHale beat in all-star appearances because, let's see, Julius Erving was an all-star in 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. His career ended with the 86-87 season, but from 1980 to his final NBA season in 87, Dr. J was an all-star all of those seasons. And he was doing it with some pretty respectable numbers. You know, 24.6 points per game, 24.4, 21, 22, 20. And, you know, a healthy dose of rebounds and assists as well. Consistency, too. 82 games played, 81, 72, 77, 78, 74. McHale had a couple seasons where he missed a good chunk of games. He was also, in his own right, pretty consistent with his health and games played in the 80s. Let's see, McHale's games played in the decade 82 82 82 82 79 68 77 64 78. Yeah, so like I said, there were a couple of seasons where he missed a big chunk of games, so maybe you don't hold that against him because plenty of others did too. Another one, you know, to me, and again, this goes back to the, you know, each person or each position needing to be filled, but like Isaiah Thomas not being on the all-80s decade team, to me, like, really? I guess it's hard because if you're just doing two backcourt guys, you can't put him above MJ and you can't put him above Magic. But was Isaiah Thomas a better player, a more impactful player than Kevin McHale over the span of the 80s? I think you have to argue that, yeah, he was. And then to me, this one is the one that just makes me kind of shake my head and say, wait, really? Really? Kevin McHale got on the all-80s decade team ahead of this individual? And that is none other than the guy who many believe to be, if there's anyone who holds the title above MJ as greatest of all time, most accomplished player of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Louis Alcindor, whatever you want to call him. I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, for crying out loud. I know that he was in his 30s in the back half of his career in the 80s, and he wasn't doing the insane things he was doing in the 70s when he was playing for Milwaukee, when, you know, he was averaging like 34-16. But I mean, come on. Let's look at Kareem's stats and all-star appearances and other honors in the 1980s, shall we? 79-80. 24.8 points and 10.8 rebounds per game. And just going down the list, the following season, 26-10, 4-8, 21-7, 21.5-7, 22-8, 23-6. I mean, they started to fall off a little bit towards the end. But he was, like Dr. J, in every season in the 80s that he played, Kareem, from age 32 to age 41, was an all-star. Was an all-star who played 82, 80, 76, 79, 80, 79, 79, 78, 80, 74. And he was an all-star every single year. And he averaged a double-double in most of that decade. And he came close to averaging a double-double other than the last couple of seasons he played, in which he was still an all-star. And I mentioned that Kevin McHale, most of his All-NBA honors in the 80s, other than one All-NBA first team when he had that amazing 86-87 season where he averaged, you know, 26-12 or whatever. The awards for Kareem, let's look at the 80s, shall we? 79-80 All-NBA first team. 80-81 All-Defensive first team. 80-81 All-NBA first team. 82-83, All-NBA second team. 83-84, All-Defensive second team. 83-84, All-NBA first team. 84-85, All-NBA second team. 85-86, All-NBA first team. Kareem's resume in the 80s is better than Kevin McHale's. So I don't know what that's about. How do you leave Kareem off the All-80s decade team? And some of it is like, I don't like Kevin McHale. That's certainly a bias that's weighing into my opinion here. Screw the Celtics. And, you know, as the Eastern Conference foe, you know, with the Bulls, it was always obviously their own division rival, the Pistons, first. That was the hump they needed to get over. But, you know, the Bulls got knocked around by Bird's Celtics, you know, who could forget, you know, MJ's 63-point performance at the Boston Garden. One of the most iconic moments of his career, his young career. But the Celtics, screw Kevin McHale. Screw Kevin McHale. Kareem is a legend. And when you talk about the post-retirement years, what has Kareem done? What did Kareem do for black athletes in the NBA when he was a player? And what has he continued to do to fight for them since then? And what's Kevin McHale up to? I got to say, that definitely is a bias factor weighing in as far as what I think about the individuals outside of basketball. Big fan of Kareem and what he stands for and what he's doing. Kevin McHale, not so much. But look at the numbers and look at the accolades. To me, even though, yes, it was the back half of his career and he was aging and, you know, in the decline, 87-88, you know, Kareem averaged 14.6, 88-89. Averaged, 10.1. Like, it's still pretty darn impressive when you think about Kareem's accomplishments spanning the 80s. And to me, if I had a vote, I'm giving my vote to Kareem over McHale for that All-NBA decade team of the 80s. Now we get to the 90s team. This one, to me, is pretty cut and dry, pretty simple. The 90s backcourt, you have John Stockton earning honors, and again, MJ, who is on the 80s and 90s team. MJ, 90s spanning the first three-peat, the second three-peat, several more MVP awards, finals MVPs, scoring titles, all that jazz. His teammate, Scottie Pippen, gets the honor for all 90s decade team. John Stockton's teammate in Utah, Karl Malone, and Hakeem Olajuwon, two-time title winner with the Houston Rockets in 94-95. Fills out that front court of the 90s team. This to me is simple. It's great. I agree with it entirely. When you talk about the only other team to be a title winner, essentially, in the 90s, if you don't count the lockout Jordan 99 season Spurs, other than MJ's Bulls, was Hakeem's Rockets, who won back-to-back. So he absolutely, with his dominance in that decade and those two titles, deserves to be on this team. Stockton and Malone probably gave MJ and the Bulls the greatest challenge of all of their titles in the 90s. They made quick work of the aging Magic Johnson's Lakers in 91. Blazers, Clyde the Glide and the Blazers in 92, Barkley's Suns in 93. All right. You know, those were both six-game series. But Stockton Malone, there was, if anybody could make an argument for a better duo than MJ and Pip in the 90s, it was Stockton Malone. Those two were incredible together, and they deserve to be on this list. Some might question Scottie's places on this list because he was just a sidekick. Whereas some might say, you know, Stockton Malone were an equal duo. They were an equal pair, you know, just one just as good as the other. Scottie was always the Robin to MJ's Batman. Robins don't deserve to be on all-decade teams. I say to you, nah. Scottie was a seven-time All-Star in the 90s in his own right. And then, just like Kareem and going through all of his accolades for all-league teams, all-defensive team, all-NBA, let me just rattle off to you the all-defensive and all-NBA teams collectively that Scottie made in the 90s. 90-91, all-defensive second team. 91-92, all-defensive first team. 92, all-NBA second team. 93, all-defensive first team. 93, all-NBA third team. 94, all-defensive first team again. 94, all-NBA first team. In his one big year where MJ was playing baseball and he and Horace and the Bulls still won 50-plus games and Scottie was the man. All-defensive first team and all-NBA first team. 95, again, all defensive first team. 95, again, all NBA first team. 96, all defensive first team. 96, all NBA first team. He did that 3 years in a row, all NBA and all defensive first teams. That's insane. 97, guess what? All defensive first team again. 97, takes a step back to all NBA second team. 98, all defensive first team again. 98, all NBA third team. 98, 99, all defensive first team again. Again! That is crazy. Pip was all defensive first team. Let's see. 92, 93, 94, 95. Like 8 years in a row. 8 years in a row, all defensive first team. With some all NBA first and all NBA seconds thrown in there. You want to say, you know, oh, like Charles Barkley deserves to be on this list ahead of Scottie. You want to say, like, Sean Kemp deserves to be on this list ahead of Scottie. Clyde Drexler deserves to be on it. No. 90s Scottie Pippen is so disrespected just because of the Robin label. He is so disrespected. Scottie Pippen in the 90s was a stud. Deserves to be on that team. Okay, here we go. 2000s team. Allen Iverson, Kobe Bryant backcourt. LeBron James, Tim Duncan, Shaq. I don't think you can, you know, pick a bone anywhere there. Like, does maybe, you know, 2003 to 2010 Carmelo deserve to be on that list ahead of any of those guys? I say no. You know, Shaq won three titles at the beginning of the decade, won another one with Miami in 2006. And towards the end of the 2000s, yeah, Shaq kind of teetered off and got old and got fat. But early 2000s, Shaq was still one of the most dominant players this league has ever seen. 2000s, Tim Duncan, same story. One of the best big men in the league, one of the best big men this league has ever seen, winning titles in 2003, 2005, and 2007. And the numbers to back it up, the all-NBA teams to back it up. LeBron James, same thing. Yeah, he came in the same year as Melo, but he did more and he did better than Melo. Took over the league as a very young player. 2000s Kobe Bryant, five rings, scoring titles at the wazoo, you know, all defensive teams, all NBA teams, and then Allen Iverson changed the game at the point guard position. AI absolutely deserves to be on that 2000s team. So I have no bones to pick with that 2000 decade roster. Then we get to 2010s. Steph Curry, James Harden, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Dwight Howard. What's the one name that you immediately say, really? It's Dwight Howard, right? Steph, of course. The titles, the scoring titles, the three-point records. James Harden becoming, you know, a revolutionary kind of offensive player, you know, multiple MVP caliber seasons, scoring titles in his own right, the insane numbers. LeBron being LeBron, 2010s is when he starts to win his titles and continues to say, hey, to hell with you, Father Time. I'm still amazing. I'm still the best player in this league. Kevin Durant, just, again, like Allen Iverson, like Steph Curry, changing the game with his combination of his size and his skill set and what he could do on the offensive end. Dwight Howard is one that you're like, really? Really? 2010's Dwight Howard gets all-decade team? Look, I mean, Dwight Howard was an all-star in 2010, 11, 12, 13, and 14. In the 10-11 season, a lot of people thought, outside of Derrick Rose robbing LeBron James of the MVP, a lot of people thought that Dwight should have been the MVP that year. He averaged 23-14, played 78 games, you know, shot 59% from the field, averaged 2.5 blocks a game. Like, he was a stud. He was a stud. And that was one of 5 all-star appearances in the first half of that 2010s decade for Dwight. But then Dwight fell off a cliff. You know, he had the one L.A. year that went terribly for that team. He averaged 17-12 that year and did make the all-star team playing 76 games, but it was a disaster. Then he goes to Houston. His first year in Houston, he makes his final all-star appearance, averaging 18-12, playing 71 games. The year after that, he plays 41, not an all-star. Year after that, final year in Houston, back up to 71 games played, not an all-star, 13-11. And then 74 games with Atlanta, 81 games with Charlotte, and then last season, 9 games with the Washington Wizards, averaging 12-9. The year before that, 16-12 with Charlotte. I mean, really? Do we think that is all-decade team material? If you want to give it to him for the first half of the decade, you know, I get that. But can you think of somebody else who might be more deserving, whose resume in the 2010s is better? Honestly, I could even make the argument that even though he retired before the decade ended, that 2010's Tim Duncan deserves to be on this list again, in addition to 2000's Tim Duncan, because he won another title in 2014 and was still a very, very efficient player for the first half of the decade and then some. I mean, like, who, like, and again, if you're talking about, like, well, it has to be a center, it has to be, like, positionally, like, what center of the decade? Well, okay, then I would still say, whatever, call Tim Duncan a center and give him the honor, give him the nod ahead of Dwight Howard. Is there any other center of the 2010s that's been more dominant than Dwight? I guess it's not an easy answer to say that. You know, some of the dominant big men of extreme recent years, like Defensive Player of the Year Rudy Gobert, it's not like you're putting him on the all-2010s team. Like Carl Anthony Towns, you're not putting him on the all-2010s team. A lot of these guys, a lot of the best bigs in the league right now have not even been in the league for the better part of a decade. So maybe that's why Dwight got the nod there. But it's just weird because, you know, and, you know, maybe you disagree with me, but when you read that list of the 2010s team, you know, it's, you know, one of these things is not like the other. When you talk about career achievements, individually and team achievements, Curry, Harden, Bron, KD, Dwight. Dwight just kind of makes that 2010s team sag a little bit. Prime Dwight Howard in the early part of the decade, and you're saying, wow, that is a beast of a 5-player lineup. Steph James, LeBron, KD, Dwight. If you're talking 2010, you know, 2009 to 2012 Dwight, then hell yeah. Hell yeah. But again, and yeah, it's probably a recency bias thing, but the way that Dwight Howard's career has just faded so quickly and aggressively, it kind of makes you think about, does he really deserve to be on that list? Would love to hear your thoughts on the NBA 2K20 all-decade teams, 80s, 90s, 1000s, 2010s. Do you have an issue with who made the team? Do you have an issue with somebody not making the team? Also, I got to give a shout-out to my boy John Sabine's buddy, Dirk Nowitzki. How did he not make the 2000 or the 2010s team? Who are you replacing it with? Maybe you put Dirk ahead of Dwight on the 2010 team?
can't take out AI, Kobe, Bron, Tim Duncan, or Shaq in the 2000s team. That's really hard for Dirk. Like, because you feel like he deserves to be on one of these teams, 2000, 2010s. One of the greatest NBA players of all time. Put him in over Tim Duncan? Do you put him in over Shaq? Do you put him in over LeBron or Kevin Durant? I don't think so. Maybe you put him in over Dwight Howard. 331-979-1369. That text the voicemail line. For those of you who want to share your thoughts on the NBA All-Decade Team for NBA 2K20. That's it. I am out of here. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, Bulls fans. We will be back, Jordan and myself, next week with more Bulls offseason content for you. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter, at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan Z. Malley, at Bulls_Pack. For Jordan Malley, Matt Peck, saying thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you later. Peace.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.